Thanks, Marcel. That was absolutely delicious. Compliments to the chef. Oh, hi guys, it's the magician here. I hope this finds you well. I'm just here in the Ned. I've just had a very successful client lunch. I just want to let you know about a very exciting proposal we're offering here on the Rig Biz podcast, a competition, if you will. They'll be running to the 24th of December. All you got to do is download the Settle It app and invite three friends to bet on the app. And once you do that, you'll be entered into a draw to have a lunch with me in the Ned in January. And we can discuss whatever you want, business, coin, chassis, chicas, you name it. I'm here. You've got me all afternoon. Anyway, get going. Love and champagne. Jonathan! John, come over here, you bastard.
More lads, more lads, more lads, more lads. More lads, more lads. More lads, more lads, more lads, more lads. More lads, more lads. More lads.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 8 of the Rig Biz podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and as always, I'm joined.
Everybody's dancing in the light when that moon is big and bright. It's a supernatural delight. Silly season's here, and I'm gonna give you a fright. I'm out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, lashing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I'll be in the ship on Sunday. It's silly season's here, and I'm right.
I think we found our second Christmas number one.
Oh, mate,
you should cover that.
Mate,
that was brilliant.
I'm in good spirits.
You're in very good spirits.
Oh, yeah, mate. Silly season's here, and one word, lasheroo.
Yeah. A month worth of lash coming
Mate, happy silly season.
Well, happy silly season to you. It's great to see you. Have you already started?
I left my dad a lovely voice note this morning just saying, Dad, this is now my 18th silly season and I'm expecting big things. I said, I'm going to get you a super duper Christmas present.
Did he reply?
He hasn't listened to it yet, but he will. It's early.
Yeah, fair play. Well, hopefully he will get back to you. And are you seeing this Christmas?
Yeah, I hope so. I think there's a few things we've got to move around in both our calendars.
Well, yeah, because initially he said double jabbed, but now you have to be triple.
I'm going to be triple jabbed.
Okay, yeah. Right, no excuses. Okay,
it's more the case whether he's going to be in the country or not, and he doesn't know, and neither is my brother Hector.
Okay.
But whatever. I'm not fussed about it. Fingers crossed we get to see each other. If not, I'll be in Clapham. What's a better place to be in the world?
That's a very good point. Archie, before we delve into silly season and, you know, reveal the incredible guests we got on the podcast, can we please find out what the hell happened over the weekend? Sport returned to Clapham. Was it a quiet one?
Fairly quiet weekend. As expected, as you forecast. Before silly season starts, played the Hammersmith Hussars away match. Terrible conditions, nightmare. Forgot my gloves.
You forgot your gloves?
Yeah, which really did impact the team. We drew 12 all. We didn't have a bench, mate.
What do you mean?
Because a few of the boys just said it was too cold. And they actually had a fair point. It was Baltic.
Right.
And then we ended up having two injuries at half time. So we played the match at 13. And if I had my gloves, we would have probably won that. But look, we'll take it.
Did you have a little sherry after the game? You must have had something to warm the cockles.
I just had a few ales with the boys, and I said, listen, lads, you know, it's going to be silly season next week. I'm going to take it easy tonight. And I just took a lovely little chica out to Bluebird on the King's Road.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. What a place.
What a place.
You know, if anyone hasn't been there who's listening to this podcast, it's like Dubai meets Ibiza with Zermatt prices. And the vibe is just, it's so good. I mean, all the guys were in polo necks, as was I. I was wearing a polo neck and a blazer. And it was like, you know what MG drivers do when they pass each other on the road?
Yeah,
they just
sure.
give them little nods. And yeah. You know, just nodding away to a lot of rigs in there.
That's awesome.
It's just such a vibey place. A good seller there. Great set.
Unlike for you to
highly recommend it. But mate, I will say one thing.
Go on.
On the downside, my God, there's always a queue for the loo.
Oh, it's pretty. It's a big restaurant.
Yeah, I know. And they're big loos, but just ram packed in the loo. And I think that just comes down to what I was saying to the chica I was with. I think a lot of those, looking around the room, a lot of those guys on high protein diets, as are myself.
Yeah.
And although I didn't see anybody eating in that restaurant at all, I think what they did is preteen.
Well, preteen?
Yeah, it's like that? It's like pre-lash. Instead of smashing it up before you head out,
yeah,
you just smash a shed load of protein, like probably a chicken and a couple of packs of halloumi.
Right, well, before you go out for
supper. Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the problem. But it was, yeah, everyone, I can't say a bad word, but everyone in meeting there, very chatty, very nice, and it was brilliant. Really recommend it. But if anyone's listening from the Bluebird Management, invest in some more bloody loos.
Live from Clapham with the CCO himself, this is Clapham News.
This is Clapham News on the 2nd of December. Silly season has officially kicked off and Clapham are estimating to do £250 million worth of deals through brunches, lunches and dinners and drinks. Plans to make the Clapham Pond a ice rink this year have been vetoed after Greenpeace got involved, saying that the wildlife around the pond would be affected. A quote from the CEO of Clapham, who happens to be one of the best looking people I know, said, "If those ducks don't like it, they can just fuck off back to Putney." Two Frisbee players were put under citizen's arrest by a number of members of a touch rugby team after being found guilty of having shit chat and supporting Labour. And in sport, Clapham Falcons remain top of the table after a hard-fought draw against the Hammersmith Hussars, going into what is deemed the toughest part of the rugby calendar, when players have to balance silly season and playing some hard ruggers. And in business, Polo Neck sales go through the roof as city boys living in Clapham dress down for a silly season.
Well, Archie, after last week's incredible guest, Stokesy
and Brody.
I know, yeah, completely yeah, yeah. crazy. They're, you know, we wish them the best for the Ashes next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I cannot bloody wait to get Stokesy in Clapham for Megan's.
Mate, he can't wait either.
Love it.
It was my chance, obviously, to put the guest this week. And so I decided to get on a guy I know you've wanted to talk to for a long time.
Right.
Saracens and England, number 10.
Owen Farrell.
No, Alex Zazowski.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Alex Zazowski.
But, to be fair, it's a bloody hard slot to come into this podcast after Stokesy and Brody.
Yeah.
I actually know Skeezy fairly well because he follows me on Instagram. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think he takes a lot of inspiration from me. Let's get him on centre court and see if he can have a rally of banter with me. Arsene first. Skeezy.
How are we?
There he is. Welcome.
How are we?
If there's anyone that is very similar to me, it is you. You know, you can play a number of positions in the back line. You're a good looking guy. You've got a great chassis.
Too kind.
But mate, you have been carving it up over in France and then back here. Owen Farrell must be quaking in his boots.
Well, mate, you were at the final, weren't you? The Montpellier final in Twickenham?
Mate, we were actually there.
I was there, mate, and I thought you played magnificently. Unfortunately, my alliances were with Leicester, but I did notice you got fantastic quads. And a lot of how you played reminded me of myself. I think we've got similar styles.
Well, I have heard about the way you've played in the past. I think a couple of my mates played against you for the Falcons. They have mentioned your versatility. That's for sure.
Did I tell you about my goose step? It's quite notorious down here in southwest London. But mate, how's it been? Sort of getting back at Sarries. How are the boys? Let me know if you want me to come down and do some extra training.
Well, yeah, mate. We're short of a couple of backs at the moment. So you know, there might be room for a trial or something. I can always put a word in.
The way I see the Saracen squads is that the good lads are the guys that follow me on Instagram.
I must say, you do remind me of blokes I met at uni. It's sort of a bit of a throwback to my uni days, just listening to you and some of the geezers that I came across there.
Yeah, I think I've done a few business deals with a couple of guys you went to uni with in Leeds, actually. They said you were decent on a night out. You're a good operator, they said. You're a slick operator on and off the pitch, which is good to hear. And I definitely think you've got a future in the city.
I'm not getting any younger, so mate, if you could just keep me in mind and keep putting a good word in for me, then I appreciate that. I know you're a very well-connected man.
Obviously, growing up, you were a bit of a footballer. Am I right in saying so? You played for Chelsea Academy. Who were you playing with in Chelsea Academy who's gone on to make a name for themselves? And what are your memories of those times?
But actually, to be fair, the guy that's gone on to probably be most successful in sport is probably Adam Jamili, the sprinter.
Yeah, yeah, no.
GB sprinter. So he's obviously he's raced in the Olympic final. I think he missed out on a medal a couple of times, by a fraction of a second. So he's done really well in another sport. In terms of actual football players, it's difficult because not many of them have actually made it in the end. There was a guy called Josh McEachran in my team who played sort of...
youngest Chelsea Champions League debutant, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So, he was the best player in my team and played for the first team. Obviously, he's still having a good career. I think he plays in the Championship now. So, doing well out of football. But there's not been one who's really made it in the first team, I guess, just because Chelsea's a big club and they're just, they get in the big names.
And did you get offers when you left Chelsea's academy to go and pursue football elsewhere, or was it straight to Rugger?
There was a bit of talk of potentially going to play for another team, sort of in the lower leagues. But at that point, I was sort of probably past it, really. I was done with it, I guess. I kind of accepted that I probably wasn't going to make it at the top level. And, I was playing rugby at school, playing rugby with my friends. I wanted to go to university as well, so it didn't really sort of match up with my
ambitions
really. Yeah,
no, but, so, but then you do go to university, you go to Leeds to study economics, which is incredibly respectful. Obviously you're very good at money as well, but Leeds is famous on the circuit for being the dirtiest university in the public school realm. So what was it like going a night out? You then signed up to a professional rugby club at that point, Yorkshire Carnegie, so you were risking injuries with STDs. What are your memories of those times?
Were you there that night Sips did himself in?
I actually was there, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I saw the bus with a dent in it. I was still in my second year then, and there was a few rumours going around the rugby club that the Sale Sharks were on their social and that there'd been an accident on the Otley Road. And then that night, I think one of my mates managed to basically get beaten up by Mark Cueto in a kebab shop or something.
Yeah. Mate, that's a bloody good story. I'd put that on my CV. If I got beaten up by Mark Cueto, that would go on my CV.
Yeah.
I have to ask Mark Cueto what happened, but there was definitely
make a note to reach out to Mark Cueto's PR team tomorrow.
In a kebab shop.
Skeezy, I reckon me and your friends would get on bloody well.
I reckon you would. Obviously, there's a lot of home counties folk who make their way up to Leeds Uni to study all kinds of different weird degrees. I think I was the only bloke from state school in my halls of residence. So
sorry to hear that.
Grammar school though, so it's sort of a half-half, I say.
Yeah, it's half and half. But I was a bit out of place, but I luckily quickly found my feet.
Luzowski, whilst at Leeds, you're obviously playing for Yorkshire Carnegie, who are a wonderful team in their slightly lower leagues. We've heard from players before who've gone and played Championship and then come back to the Prem, whatever it may be, that when they go and play for Northern clubs, Rotherham, the likes, it gets naughty, it gets dirty. What was it like playing for a Northern rugby club? Like, how dirty, how messy? What was the initiation like for Yorkshire Carnegie, for example? Surely it's a lot more brutal than the others.
To be fair, the initiation for the for Leeds Carnegie wasn't actually too bad. The university one was appalling. I mean, it was probably -3, -4 degrees, all dressed up as in drag. So we've got these little mini skirts on, doing head first sort of sliding through icy mud, eating cat food, baby food.
This all sounds great.
Playing rugby with a pig's head. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, and then sort of being forced to drink beer through the pig's head. So being poured through the back of its head and then coming out through its nose and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's solid.
At that point, I think that was when I was done with uni rugby. And I think I just went straight to Leeds after that and played with them because I was a bit done with it by then.
Well, you actually did a similar thing, didn't you?
We do that every other season. We normally find a dog that's lost its way in Clapham, decapitate it, and then use that to put it for people as a vessel, and we take it round everywhere. And it is bloody good fun, and the smearing of the blood is actually sort of a thing we do to the newbies,
right?
That kind of stuff of using animals to drink out of. We also do this great game, which is quite hard to explain, but it's called the cupping of the balls. And what we do is everyone holds, you've got in a line, everyone holds their teammates' balls, and then you tickle them, and it's the first one to laugh has to drink their pint. It sounds not as good as it actually is. So I recommend, if you want me to come from one of your trips to the Sarries Boys, I've got loads of really fun games that we could do, and the cupping of the balls is up there.
Well, mate, that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for blokes who can obviously bring a lot to the training field, but then also contribute socially as well. So, yeah. It sounds like you fit right in.
Well, I think I would actually fit. I mean, we've had a lot of Quinns players on here, and you know, London is where I see myself, you know, playing. But looking at the Saracens team, it just looks like that is where it operates. Everyone there is slick. It reminds me of the squad. Reminds me of Any Given Sunday. You know, you've got Willie Beeman, who is probably Faz, isn't it? It's, you know, Willie Beeman or Mario Toshi, and then you know me, you
fit that mold, yeah.
Yeah, Goody, Jamie George, not Cruzy, he's out of it. We just rock up on the bus. We're earning a stinking amount of cash. We're playing some sexy rugby. We're carving it up. We're putting balls in behind the other team. Yeah, that's where it would be. And red actually really suits you. Red and black are my colours.
Yeah, well, you fit like a glove. Let's get it sorted.
Can you speak to management?
Yeah, I can do. I don't really want to get you involved at my expense, though.
No, listen, I'll play 12, you play 13, we will, you know, Faz can play 10, like, yeah, you know, he'll throw his teddies at the pram if not playing 10, you know, and also it's a good balance for having like two blokes in the centres who are, you know, phenomenal shape, have got all the skills to pay the bills, and then you've got, you know, you've got Owen Farrell, just fucking pass me the ball, mate. Like that, it'll be a lovely sort of. There's a sitcom there, actually.
Lazowski, after Leeds, you then get signed by the Mighty Wasps, the team synonymous with your surname. Obviously, it was a time when the club was struggling with financial problems and stuff like that, and apparently Dai Young was paying for the coach to go to away games. It must have been completely crazy. But you were competing for a place with the infamous Andy Goode. How unprofessional was he off the pitch? What did you learn from him?
You know, Goody was great with me. Definitely taught me a lot and helped me along the way. As a youngster, I was like 21 when I arrived, so that was great. And when you're a young player, you sometimes get sort of appearance bonuses in your contract. And he sort of pulled me aside one day and was like, you know, how many games do you need to get your bonus? And I was like, oh, well, I need to get this many. He's like, well, I'll try and sort you out. I'll try and help you out there. And then occasionally throughout the rest of the season, if we were winning a game by a long way, he'd sort of just pull himself off, say he's got like a bad back or like a bad hammy, and then I'd get on for like 30 seconds at the end, which counts as an appearance. And then, at the end of the season, I got my extra 250 quid, which is great.
Well, I hope you invested it wisely.
You know, the beauty about Goody is, and it's only recently come to my attention, but him and Tyson Fury have really proven a point to sport, that you don't need to actually be, you know, aesthetically pleasing on the eye. I mean, they are both got very similar chassis, but are both played at the pinnacle of their sport. And it's quite incredible, isn't it? I mean, you know, Goody does remind me of, two things. His body looks like a spilt pudding. And secondly, he has the... the look of a man that you would see playing the slot machines in a service station. But it's incredible. It is incredible.
It's amazing what you can achieve with such a bad
body. Do you have any sort of cross-pod chat or anything like that going on between you and Goody?
We're trying to get him on this season.
Yeah, Big Jim's been on. And I've got to say, I'm a big fan of Jim. He's probably up there as one of my favourite influencers on Instagram. Jim would be welcome back. Goody keeps making excuses that, you know, it's in his contract, he can't come on, but I think he just fears my chat. But really, we'd get on really well because we're both very right wing.
I've noticed that, yeah. I think, you know, you get like a house on fire, to be fair. I'd have to get that sorted. I'd love to hear that head to head. I'd love to hear that. Commercial break.
Get down.
New York bitch, where I move to get rich. Making cash and hasten, give my colleagues admiration. Yeah. There's Bobby from Queens, and then there's Emma from Harlem. They never seen an English man with such a cash fueled hard on. They never dealt so much cash since the 70s. Only English banker, but they think I'm a celebrity. More lash grabs me as I'm about to blast heat. Unscientifically proven to improve when you're messing in the sheets. What you up to? The cops gonna bust you. I was a teen drunk off cold breed too. Trying to make my way around New York City. Like, more lash, can you come and save me too? Sitting in the fourth town, looking on down. I got a private view of Central Park now. I need a cold drink and I need it now. If only more lash delivered to the international towns. So if you want a drink and you're based overseas, all you have to do is go onto the website, please. Go online onto More Lash Brewery. A couple of daytimes you'll be drinking purely. A drink that's scientifically proven now to improve your chat and get you moving around. Happy silly season, ladies and gentlemen. Get on the More Lash now, baby. That's right, we are now delivering all over the world. Anywhere you are internationally, you can get More Lash Brewery whenever you want.
Alex, also Hask, one of Archie's best mates, was knocking around at Wasp at the same time. Was he the life and soul of Wasps, or was there anyone else who kind of wrestled away the entertainment mantle from him?
Oh, no, Hask was front and centre, you know, obviously captain of the team at the time, you know, leading the charge, showing the young boys the way on the socials as well, which was always great. I sort of grew up watching Hask on TV and watching him play for England, and as a youngster, you know, was a bit of a fan, so to have actually, you know, got the opportunity to play with him and get to know him, it's unbelievably underwhelming. he's a great bloke, and you know, took me under his wing a little bit as well. So
Alex, you leave Wasps to go to Saris, which is sort of the biggest traitor act one can do when they play for such a great team as Wasps, especially when your father's name runs so richly through the veins of that wonderful club. So how come you decide to go to Saracens? I know you've spoken before about hating Saracens and, you know, all players, teams, coaches hating Saracens. So what was the decision behind that?
I think what I said in that interview was it was obviously always hard to play against Saracens and hated playing against them because they were so good and annoyingly good and difficult to sort of beat, basically. But I never really saw myself leaving Wasps, and when it came down to it, it was a shame, but I wasn't really getting as many opportunities to play. It's not what I said, but
what was the first contract? Just money, or did it have a couple of properties as well?
Well, that's all in the past, you know.
You can't ask that, Freddie. You can't ask that.
It's a valid question. He's a young guy. Yeah, maybe listen, they put him up in student digs.
This is not Newsnight. This is the Rig Biz podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Sad to leave White. Obviously, the team that my family have supported and been a part of for a long time. And it's just one of those things that happens in sports sometimes, I suppose.
Yeah.
Would you like to go back?
You know, I'm very happy at Saris now. You know, I guess I've been here for 6 years and 28 now. I can see myself, you know, being at Saris for the foreseeable future. You know, but you know, what I would say is that Wasps obviously has got like a, you know, a place in my heart. My family team. My dad was captain. You know, we played nearly 300 games. So, you know, we're all sort of still Wasps fans in a sense, and always want them to do well. So, you know, I guess we'll just have to see what happens in the future.
Well, you have done. I mean, the move was a wonderful move.
That is a great answer. That is worthy of Sky Sports News, actually.
Yeah.
That is right out the handbook. That is beautiful.
Oh, it's a straight forward defensive cricket shot.
How many years have you got left at Saris? How long is your contract?
This year, I'm in my last year now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably come up to the time now where things are getting sorted out, but you know, there's a few guys I think in the team at the moment who are in their last year, so you know, there's a few guys that need to be sorted out as well as myself. So
do you want me to come down and sort stuff out? Look, you know, if there's one thing you know about me is I get stuff done, and you know, I could come down and represent you for a very, very small fee.
Maybe you could step in and try and get something over the line for the agents. They might need your charisma and enthusiasm and sort of business acumen to get something done.
My business acumen. And the great thing is I earn a shed load, so I don't really need the cash. I would
You're
just
doing
be
it for the love of the game.
Yeah, and if you've got some stash lying about, look, one thing I love more than money is just stash. So, you know, if you boys got together, got me some seriously good stash, like Sarah's stash, I'd represent you all in that meeting.
Well, we'd appreciate that. Obviously, you then look phenomenally good down the clock on a common there in your kit. So it's a win-win, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing better, I don't think, actually, than just as a semi-pro rugby player wearing like professional rugby shorts or just stash when you're walking around Clapham, because people will probably know that you don't play for that team, but they'll know that you're like half decent. And like one of my favorite things to do in the summer is like I love to wear like, you know, for instance, I'll wear like my old school Brumby shorts, some flip-flops, and then just like either my university training vest or like a Quinn's training like vest. And that just is like I'm stashed up to the max, but people know I'm enjoying a beer on a Wednesday night, so they know I probably aren't not a professional rugby player, but I'm only having one beer, so that suggests that I'm probably just a semi-professional rugby player with just fucking good chat. I'm in good shape. They're like, that guy CrossFits, he earns a lot of money and he obviously lives in the area, so he's doing bloody well.
And they want to talk to you after that, I guess. Yeah, so
yeah,
happy days.
Yeah. A lot of girls do want to talk to me a lot of the time.
Well,
sliding in, they are just, you know, they are it, my DMs are moist. They are just sliding in there. They're literally just coming in my inbox.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly, it's ridiculous. The rig shots I'm getting in my inbox. Yeah. Oh my god, I will share you. Oh, it's beautiful. It's
Alex,
beautiful.
Saracen's
this
obviously
delicious little chica. She sent me a cheeky little video of hers singing more lash song.
Oh my god,
some lingerie. It was phenomenal.
Alex, obviously Saracen.
Thank you to that chica for doing that. By the way, if you're listening, babe, that's hot. And also Skeezy's here, and he'd appreciate it. You can find him on his Instagram. Just slide it. His DMs are moist as well. Just slide in there, baby.
Well, maybe it's a good time to ask. Any chicas on the go at the moment, Alex?
Yeah, it's just the one, my girlfriend, yeah. So,
I've checked her out.
I'm pretty much
impressed.
You know, Archie, they're all yours, mate.
Yeah, no, Skeezy's done well. One of the first things I did is when Skeezy followed me, I followed him straight back. He got a blue tick. I knew he played for England. I was like, yes, please. I'm about to become friends with a guy that is very similar to me.
I've been pushing your content, and
she's
slowly coming around to the banter. Obviously, I enjoy that kind of banter, and she's getting there as well. So,
yeah, well, look, if you want me to come for like a date night and we can just hang out and see where that goes,
what, three of you?
I'm more than happy to come and distribute my banter live.
Well, maybe you could bring along one of the many sort of girls that you've got sort of queuing up for you at the moment. We could do like
I honestly, it's annoying how
it would be easy for you to do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you'll be able to find one.
Yeah, any shape, any size, I'll bring them. You just tell me, I'll make it to order. Whatever you want, I'll bring it.
Well, Alex, let's go back to the rugby for a second. Last year, obviously, a lot of players leave Saris for a year or so before you come back in the Prem. You're doing a wonderful job, well done. But you go off to France, so you decide to go to Montpellier for a year. Didn't go too well in the league, but it went wonderfully well in the European Challenge Cup. How sort of shocked or surprised are you by the difference in professionalism between France and England? We've had a lot of guests come on and talk about the fact, you know, most of the team still smoke, a lot of them drink regularly. Like, what was the differences for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think firstly, I really enjoyed living out there. It's an unbelievable place to live, down on the beach, on the Mediterranean, you know, hell of a city. It was a shame that, you know, the pandemic sort of meant that I probably didn't experience it to the full extent of what I'd like to. But you know, a great bunch of lads there, and really, really enjoyed playing there. Obviously, had a good run in the Challenge Cup, like you said, won that final, which was amazing. One story that I always will remember, which stands out to me, is at the first social, I was sort of, you know, turning up to this team, so it's obviously fancy dress, bloke dresses Napoleon everywhere, and like, you know, it's obviously quite funny. I was sort of, you know, trying to get, I can't speak a word of French, trying to sort of communicate with these guys. And normally, as like you guys will probably know, at a rugby social, there's sort of three things that need to be organised in an English rugby social. That is obviously like a fancy dress theme, food, and drink. And that's the three main things, which they sorted that out. But the fourth thing that they had gone the extra length to also provide for was just decks and decks of camel blues for the boys just to just help themselves to just endless amounts of cigarettes.
Wow. That's beautiful.
So that was a bit of a surprise, but I think, you know, teed me up for sort of what was to come for the year that followed.
How did you celebrate that Challenge Cup? Obviously, it was COVID times. And also, did you get any chat from the other English guys? Archie was giving a lot of chat.
Skeezy messaged me
to 40 that day.
He did say he'd want to come to the Ned with me, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah, you went to the Ned that night, didn't you?
Well, I think I invited you, Skeezy, and then you wrote back to me saying, we will do it at some point. I can't.
There was so much sort of red tape around and you couldn't get anywhere. And it was a bit of a bubble and all that nonsense. So actually, all we did that night was just go back to the hotel and just have an extremely late night. And basically, we didn't even really go to sleep, sort of back on the bus in the morning, back to France. And straight back to Montpellier in the morning. But that's when the lockdown had just ended in France as well.
Oh, nice.
So it was actually perfect timing. And it was actually a hell of a good day that we had. The day after the final, we had this sort of beach club, sort of hideout area, amazing sort of steaks on the barbecue, beautiful food, Mediterranean cuisine, loads of drinks, baking hot sunshine, seeing the background. That's sort of, you know, I guess when I decided to go and play for Montpellier, that's kind of what I saw in my head what it would be like, as opposed to the sort of 6 p.m. curfews, just sort of sitting alone in my
playing
flat.
Card, yeah.
On Pornhub. Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now. Does he have chat?
Jamie George.
Chat.
Benny Villapono. Villapola, sorry.
Chat.
Owen Farrell.
Wipe in the face.
No chat.
No chat.
George Ford.
Chat.
No way. No, I won't have it. I will not have it. There is not a person that's come on that pod that has said George Ford has got...
Dark horse.
Really? Okay.
Ben Youngs.
No chat.
Jondre Pollard.
Chat.
Guilherme Guerrero.
Well, I'll have to say no chat because we barely speak to one another because I can't speak French.
And Ellis Genge.
No chat.
Johnny May.
Oh God, Johnny, no chat.
And then finally, Elliot Daly.
Chat.
Right. Okay. That was good insight into Lazowski's mind. Yeah. That was wonderful.
Am I giving out some rogue answers?
Well, no. I mean, you're the first person to come on the pod and say that Owen Farrell and George Ford have got chat, and I think they should hold you as a dear friend. Yeah. That's very kind of you.
And just to finish up, Alex, you've been absolutely incredible, but what is your biggest regret to date? You're too young for us to ask your greatest highlight, but what is your biggest regret to date?
Yeah, probably, genuinely, probably that initiation I had to do at Leeds Uni where I didn't even want to go into the details of it because they're probably a little bit too damaging to the reputation of the university and the rugby club.
I think if anything that will
if we go for a pint on another time, I can tell you exactly what happened. Yeah. But that I wouldn't wish that upon everyone.
Well, Alex Zazowski,
no, that would be for me. I feel a lot of people listen to this and probably want to go to Leeds because of that.
Yeah.
For me, certainly
you want to go back to uni, you want to go do masters, don't you?
They want to go if they could get through it and then be the inflictor the year after.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not as bad when you're the one sort of putting it on a fresher, but when you're the one on the receiving end, it's obviously nasty business.
Weirdly, when I was at boarding school, when I first joined, our deputy head of house was called the inflictor, but for other reasons I won't go into. but he certainly inflicted himself on a majority of the boys there.
Well, it seems
and
like
that case is still going on.
It seems like you boys got a little counselling to do over a pint. But
Skeezy,
for now, Alex, thank you so, so much.
Send my best to all the boys.
Cheers, mate.
Champagne.
Thank you so much.
Ciao.
Alex Zazowski, what a lovely man.
Yeah. Mate, it doesn't surprise me. You get a fly half who's in good shape, you're getting good chat. Mm-hmm. And that's what we just got.
Cultured man. Been to France, been to Saint Aries, won it all.
Mate, I am looking forward to that double date. I cannot wait, because just the chance to see his missus in the fresh would be incredible. Want to see you in the clubhouse.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear your most embarrassing stories you've told ever.
So Archie, we're back again.
Bum bum, let me say well. Oh.
Archie, come on.
Bum bum, let me say well. Well.
You're so happy. It's silly season. It's ridiculous.
It's silly season and it's clubhouse story time.
Yeah, what a combination. Well,
Freddie, I absolutely love this section of podcasts.
What?
Can we just do a podcast full of clubhouse stories?
Well, maybe one day.
Everyone would absolutely love it.
This week's clubhouse stories is inspired by your day on the weekend.
Mate, great day.
Now, you haven't given us any details, but I guess it was
an embarrassment. Do I mention that Bluebird is a phenomenal place? If anyone's looking for a cheeky sort of silly season date, head to Bluebird.
Get down there.
What a vibe. Well, what a vibe, Freddie. It's, you know, for me, it's like the Ned on Heat.
Right, okay. Well,
it's like the Ned has been sprayed by deep heat and it's red hot and on fire.
Right, well, Archie, let's get into this because we asked people to send in some embarrassing dates. And here's one from Stuart Kotsouris. I believe he's Greek.
Oh, yeah, because, I forgot Stuart's a very Greek name.
He starts with hey.
Oh, that's awful. Who starts an email with hey?
I know, people's etiquette has gone completely down the drains.
He says, and I like a lot of people from Greece. A great place to go on holiday, Freddie. Have you been to Greece?
I have a couple of times.
Yeah, it's lovely. You know what? Actually, the Bluebird is a lot like Greece in a way.
No, come on, Archie. It's
got that, it got that kind of cool vibe.
That Greek tavernacle. Well, he starts by saying...
Hold on. He started with hey.
He started with hey, yeah.
I don't think we're... I don't know this guy. I don't even start emails to my friends I've known for 20 years with
I know.
Hi. I always start formally. You know, for me, like, I always start, hi, Alistair. I hope this finds you well. Just wanted to confirm receipt.
Well, just to text your dad.
Yes, or email. I normally email Daddy, Alistair, so.
Okay, well, he goes, hey, my most embarrassing date so far.
Has he asked if I'm well?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't asked anything. God. He doesn't care.
Oh my God.
Anyway, he says it was...
My guess is this guy lives in East London or up north.
Well, he's saying it was on Valentine's Day last year.
Oh, God, I love Valentine's Day.
And I was taking...
It's a great, great time to go on a cheeky little date.
Well, it's a day made for it.
Actually, write that down because I probably need to sort of start thinking about it. That's coming around quite quickly, February.
Okay.
Just text me tomorrow and remind me I need to try and book it at a restaurant. Probably book Bluebird again for that. But I'd book now if I wanted to get a reservation.
Okay. Well, it says I was taking a certain cheek around.
Imagine the vibe in Bluebird for Valentine's Day would be phenomenal.
I've shown up to the restaurant and there are two tables available.
Oh, no nightmare.
One that needed tidying up and another completely free. I sit down at the one which is free. But to my dismay, 5 minutes later, my parents arrive on the table cleared next to it. I was conflicted to fessing up to this date, or do I just go along with it?
Oh my God, that for me was not being embarrassed. If my dad came and was on the next table, oh, that would be absolutely magical.
I
can just imagine his look on his face would be priceless.
Yeah, it'd be a pull by you, wouldn't it?
Sometimes I actually try and book restaurants I know he likes to try and surprise him. Funny enough, I always try and book a table on Thursday at Boysdale's in London.
Well, just by yourself?
Yeah, and I just go in there and I just see if he's in there. And unfortunately, I've been doing it now for 6-7 years and he's... still never turned up on that day.
Christ.
Well, what are the chances? Well, it's like the lottery, though.
Archie, let's try to get through this. I ended up just going along with it, and I had to sit through a whole day with my parents right next to me. The day went well, and the girl was discussing a few things you wouldn't allow your parents to hear. I could also see my mum taking pictures from time to time.
Yeah, nice.
With an embarrassed face emoji.
He's using an emoji on
I know,
email.
It's completely disgraceful.
Jesus Christ.
Thankfully, I managed
That is disgusting.
I know. Shall I carry on or not?
Oh, I have a feeling this guy works in recruitment.
Thankfully, I managed to play it cool and got the girl back to mine.
Nice.
The following morning, walking down the stairs, doing the walk of shame, the girl saw my mum, but luckily she pretended not to recognise her.
Right.
To make things more embarrassing, my mum commented when the girl had left, saying she was horrible. Good motivation to earn more coin and finally move out the house. Thanks, Stuart.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. We have hit an all-time low. You got to be joking me. Is that the best email that came this week? We have thousands and thousands of people listening to this podcast, and we got this guy. Oh my, it's concerning. It concerns me. And of course, it all makes sense. He lives with his parents. Fucking hell, Freddie. That has got to possibly go down as one of the worst stories we've ever had in this pod.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Curtis' tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
So, Archie, I did hear at the top of the podcast that you're working on a little competition with Settle It. What's that about?
Yeah. I'm doing it. Hold on, mate. I'm just going to have a quick sip of my protein shake.
Okay.
Oh, God, honestly.
Good.
Sometimes you have a sip and you already can feel it coursing through your veins. Right. Yeah, competition. Yeah, I've got a bit of competition chat for the listeners. All that you've got to do is download the Settle It app and then get three other friends to download it. And if you do that, you get in for a chance of winning a lunch at the Ned with me in January. And we can talk business. We can have a bit of lash. Whatever you want.
So basically, download the app.
It closes on the 24th of December.
Okay, so download the app.
Christmas Eve.
So download the app.
So on Christmas Day, you might have a present.
The greatest present ever.
Yeah.
So download the app, invite three friends. If they do a bet with you, then you'll be put in a draw and you can win an all-expense-paid-for outing to the Ned with Mr. Curzon.
Yeah.
Well, Archie, let's talk Rugger, because this weekend we got some great games. So kicking off on Friday, we have Gloucester versus Bristol, wow. The Battle of the West Country.
What a game. Yeah, I mean, this is a tough match to call, but we have to go with Bristol Bears. Just because I've actually, since David Atwood's come on the pod, we speak every other night on Facebook.
Okay. Then on Saturday, we have Exeter Chiefs versus Sarries, wow. The two old champions.
Yeah. We're going to have to go with Sarries because Skeezy, he's been on the pod this week. And potentially, as we spoke, I could be going to play for them soon.
I doubt that. Anyway, then we have London Irish, who caused an upset against Quins last weekend. You didn't see that one coming. Against Newcastle Falcons.
Oh, that's a tricky one to call. And probably the least relevant game of the weekend. I can't imagine many people will be watching that. I will probably go with Newcastle Falcons because, funny enough, London Irish are a bit like Worcester. I just don't really know anyone that plays for them.
Then we have Northampton Saints versus Bath Rugby.
Well, I just can't see Bath getting the victory. But because me and Anthony Watson have become close again, obviously he unfollowed me, then he's followed me back, and we're probably closer than ever. I'm going to have to go to Bath again this weekend.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And then Worcester Warriors versus Wasps.
Worcester Warriors versus Wasps, close one, because last week I actually did for the first time went with Worcester Warriors because I'm quite good friends with Ollie Lawrence. But a very good friend of mine, Alfie Barbary, plays for Wasps, and so I'm going to go with Wasps because I know that Alfie came back last weekend.
Scored a try.
Yeah. And Alfie, if you're listening, thank you so much for not sending me voice notes in the middle of the night for the last 3 months. It's been a nice break.
And then to finish off, we have the clash of number one and two, the Titans. Tigers at home to the Quins.
Well, this week, I am going to go against Quins. I'm going to go with Leicester just because... Did you see Freddie Burns in America?
Oh, mate.
Wow.
He's got a story to tell.
That boy had a good time. And you know what? I've heard through the rumour mill, he had success on and off the field in Tennessee.
He did. I think he did.
And so I'm going to go for Leicester just for Burnsy.
So what odds are we going to throw out? Should we give Quins 10-1 to beat Leicester? That seems quite generous.
I'm going to go 15-1 for Quins to beat Leicester.
Wow. Okay. Well, guys, if you want to get involved, then download the Settle It app, get your friends and family involved, and take on Mr. Curzon amongst your friends. And don't forget to get involved in that incredible prize to win lunch at the Ned.
It's actually a bloody good competition, but I'm now worried that guy Stuart, who wrote into Clubhouse Stories, might win. Jesus, that's going to be a long lunch.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to another episode of the Rugbiz Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. As we near Christmas and silly season is amongst us, we are lashing as we've never lashed before. Archie?
I'm going out.
Where are you off to?
I need the world to know I'm going out.
Wait.
Because silly season isn't starting slow.
Well, it's going to be hard for us to spend time to do the pod, isn't it?
I managed to get it in. It's in the diary, but you've got to be on your feet, mate, because silly season, my chat, takes an extra jump up.
Right, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing that happen.
Absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, yeah.
We were out, Freddie, weren't we, last night?
We were indeed.
Celebrating the start of the season. It's really good fun going out together. I think you learn a lot. You see how to operate at night. We're at the St. John's Tavern.
We were.
On St. John's Hill in Clapham Junction.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we made our way to the Old Town Tavern.
Clapham Old Town.
All the taverns. We cover all the taverns.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of lads there.
There were.
A lot of strong banter, actually.
Business cards are plenty. Well, Archie, I'll let you go because I know it's the second day of silly season. Mate, so you've got some bar or drinks.
I was out for lunch. And I come here. Gonna take it easy tonight.
You're not out tonight.
Yeah, I had a bloody calorific lunch.
Okay.
And so I'll probably go home. I'll probably do running on the spot for a good 45 minutes while I watch the highlights of last weekend's rugby. Finished probably by a few dips and a few crunches, and then I'll probably have a tangerine and then off to bed because it's important to get your sleep. That's one thing you need to get in silly season is sleep.
Well, mate, that sounds absolutely fascinating.
And honestly, I was just saying to a guy in my office today, you know, if you have a good silly season, then you can have a phenomenal Q1. And it's lovely to see because we have dressed down now in our office. You're out entertaining. You want people to feel relaxed.
Yeah.
And I've just invested in 6 different coloured polo necks.
Oh, congratulations. It's a lot really of polo necks.
And if anyone's listening, anyone needs fashion tips, definitely recommend wearing a polo neck with a blazer. And then just tight trousers, no socks and some brogues. It's a really, really in look at the moment. And
Sure?
It can be cold, but think about it this way. It will only be cold between meetings.
Okay.
Have you got my Tupperware from last week?
I didn't find it, mate, sadly. There is quite a smell in there, though.
Okay. Can you just write a note before we go?
Yeah, sure.
Say just go online tomorrow and see if there's still any deals going for Tupperware.
Okay. I mean, you realise we're still recording the pod?
Oh, are we?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good chat.
Before I spit a bar that turns to shards of glass and scars, your ass, the darker path is what I chose to walk. Because my light can far surpass and outshine the views of the bad mind that want to see me with chalk outlines. So give me the mic and wheel it up. I'm feeling the right to beat it up. This silly MC thinks he's enough to give me the battle. I'm bringing this thing of a rattle until he feels his muscle fibers seizing up. This beat was.